Welcome to this last session of the day. I know you're all sleepy. Did you all have your coffee? Good. This session, as the name suggests, is about sending secure emails to anyone using the power of Office 365 and in Azure Information Protection. When we use the word Azure Information Protection, it has two big pieces, classification and labeling and protection. And protection is what used to be called Azure RMS. So over the period of next hour, we'll continue to use RMS and Azure Information Protection interchangeably. But the protection technology or encryption technology is RMS, so we'll try to keep it that way. The two of us on stage, my name is Gagan Gulati. I'm a PM on the Azure RMS team, Azure Information Protection team. And with me, I have Ian Hemeroff. He's a PM on the Office 365 Information Protection team. As you by now have figured out, we have many information protection teams.
We're two IPs in a pod.
Two IPs in a pod. Yeah, right. Very soon we'll have somebody from the Windows information protection team here too. Okay. So you know this drill. No photocopy, no photography, no copyrights. And we'll move to the real thing. We're all here for a reason, right? I mean, all of you guys working for your organizations have a prime objective to make sure that the information that exists in your organization continues to stick or continues to stay within the organization. We all remember very well the hacks that we are seeing out in the industry, whether it's Target, whether it's Sony. Information is just lying around, and Mr. Snowden comes in with his own wheelbarrow, drops everything, and goes, right? Because it was never encrypted, never protected, just sitting over there. That's one angle. The other angle that we know all of us are aware of is the compliance angle and the privacy angle. If you are working for any organization in Europe or United States, you know that you have to meet the compliance requirements. That's number two. That's where security gets important. And the third and the biggest one, which keeps us awake at night, is this whole idea of that productivity takes over. So I can open the most sensitive information of my company on my mobile phones, of my devices at home that my company has no control over. You know, I go to my mom's place, I just do VPN, download a file, keep it locally, and I'm back. And then that file keeps sitting over there, and we have no control over that file. We just left over there, right? So the company trusted us to do the right thing, but we may not be doing the right thing in these cases. So the growth of cloud and mobile usage and giving you more and more productivity scenarios has an implication of security. So that's that. And we also know that the email is the primary form of sharing information today, whether it's between organizations, within the organization, between organizations, or you sending an email to anybody outside with a social ID account, for example, and others. So secure email is the number one ask that our teams continue to receive on a daily basis. And we want to make it work for you. Now, we also, how many of you are aware of RMS, IRM, OME in the past? Quite a few numbers. And you love that technology, right? Yeah, we love it too. The Microsoft, as a company, has been working on it for 10 years. In the old days, we had something called AD-RMS. It did its part, kind of kept everything together, protect emails within the company. So it has been there, and a lot of organizations have deployed it. We came out with OME, Office 365 Message Encryption. Great technology, allows you to send encrypted emails to users who are outside your company. Works great in that technology, in that environment, but it just doesn't gel well, right? In today's environment, when I don't care whether the other person is within my company or outside, I just want to send them a secure email. So we know we have issues. If you are an admin in your company, you know that configuration is hard. It's complicated. It takes too much time to set up such environments, right? We have heard from our Office 365 customers that, because it was so hard, I could not get it to work, I have to look around for a point solution to make this work. We also know that you have been talking to us about no common workflows being there for within the company, business to business, or business to consumer identities, right? That has been one of the biggest asks that we have heard. Policies are too restrictive. You do not forward? Yes? Nods? Yeah? Okay. So do not forward is a policy that's built into Outlook, right? And if I were to send an email to Ian, who's not in my company, right? I will send him a do not forward email. I trust him more than do not forward, but our system doesn't allow policies more than do not forward today, especially when you have SIS business-to-business environments. So it's very, very restrictive in today's world. And if I send Ian an email who is part of a different company or otherwise, there is a chance that he may not be able to open these emails. Like, that's the biggest one. So next time, Ian is going to send me an email saying, dude, don't send me a protected email. Send me the normal one. I promise I won't forward it. Or I promise I'll take care of it. Right? So the trust goes down every time an email is sent to a user who's on a device where you cannot open, where the emails could not be opened simply and directly. And last but not the least, because the recipient is so frustrated and is inconsistent, the use, even if you had the right intentions within your company to protect all of the emails, you are forced to start removing those encryptions a lot of times. So those are just few of the issues. We want secure emails to just work. That's the need of the hour. And we're going to talk to you about what we're doing in this space to make it work. And at any point in time, if you have a question, just raise your hand and we can answer. You don't have to wait till the end. So the two teams here are the Office 365 IP team, which Ian is representing that. This is a team that does all of the security work in Office 365. And our team, we come together to offer you this solution, says that if I send an email, a simple email to a user, secure email to a user, it will just work whether the user is within the company, is outside the company, another Office 365 user, or is using on-prem infrastructure, or is on Gmail, or is in Microsoft account. It doesn't matter who the other user is. Security, email productivity continues to be where it is, and security just adds up on top of it. That's the value prop we offer to you, and that's what we're going to show you in the next 68 minutes. So let's first talk about email security within the organizations, right? When we have a talk with our customers who come in, they say, you know what, I can figure out B2B as the time goes, and we can do B2C as well, but let's first talk about making sure that my data, my confidential information, continues to stay protected within my own company, right? That's basically what kills a lot of our security enthusiasts. And what are we doing to achieve this? Number one is, if you have ever tried to enable Exchange and RMS today, it's pretty hard. It's not as easy as go click a button. Well, we talk about it as just clicking a button. You go to Security and Compliance Center, it's a familiar page, right? You go to Settings, you go to Apps, you click on Microsoft Rights Management, cool. And then you go to this new page where you click on Activate, and then you go set up your templates. And then, well, that was not enough. Then you have to read TechNet documentation. And then you deploy PowerShell. And then you say, I want to create a new session to connect to Exchange Online. You create your session, run through, I'm not even going to the details, but run through various PowerShell commandlets, and finally say, I want to set IRM, right? And if you're that smart and you can do that, that's fantastic, but we've heard from our customers that, look, I'm a UI guy, right? I expect this to just work. Don't give me PowerShell. And to do all of this work. If you like PowerShell, you're still welcome to use it. But in the new world, we are going to keep it always on. If you have Office 65, IRM or RMS or rights management and OME, they're all going to be enabled for you by default. No more clicking buttons to activate. No more going to PowerShell commandlets. You create a tenant, you're good to go, right? So productivity kicks in, and security is already enabled for you. Like, that's the value prop we want to give you. So that's the first big one. That's the first big piece of work that both our teams are doing, is giving you security in emails and in documents. It's always going to be there if you're an Office 65 customer.
So what do you think? Good or bad? All right.
Okay. Good.
All right. Or do you want us to go back and just make it all PowerShell? I'd like to ask the cloud, because he's actually sitting three rows in the front here. That's the answer we wanted to hear. Thank you.
So bring your own key. Raise your hands on how many of you understand this concept of bring your own key? Okay, good. That's actually a big number. I didn't expect this big a number. If you have heard of Azure RMS, and you read through the first page of Azure RMS documentation, then you hear about this concept of bring your own key, right? I'm going to take a minute to explain what bring your own key means. And if you feel that's what your organization wants, that's fantastic. If you feel that's not what your organization wants, then just skip over it. Forget that I ever talked about it. The concept of bring your own key is quite simple. If you are an organization that is focused on compliance, that's focused on security, then a lot of times you have regulations which says the key that is used to encrypt documents and emails must be in my control, in my company's control. It cannot be the base key, the master key that protects every document cannot be generated by Microsoft or cannot be owned by Microsoft, right? It's cool. I mean, I think that's a functionality, that's a good security compliance requirement. In fact, if you are a sophisticated customer and you talk to our team, the first thing we tell you is, can you please go do BYOK? We want you to do BYOK so you're compliant, and then we move forward to what are the use cases that you can implement. The concept of BYOK is you generate these keys locally in your Thales HSMs in your company. Then you take these keys and securely transfer them into the Microsoft HSMs, into the Microsoft security world, using Thales' software, not ours, right? And these keys are now in the service called Azure Key Vault that also spun off out of our team. The keys are sitting over there in Azure Key Vault. We don't know about them. And when you are ready to use Azure Rights Management, BYOK, you tell us or you point us to those keys and say, hey, whenever you have to encrypt a document, go use that key. That key is sitting in an HSM. It's in your control. We don't own it. Like, we don't even know about it till you give us a reference. That's what BYOK is. And if you feel like you something's going wrong ever, you have the ability to not give us the key. Take away the reference and that's it, you're done. Right? So that's what the power of BYOK gives you, where we give you the ability to bring your own encryption keys to encrypt your own documents. Right? And we are just a service that's using your keys to encrypt documents that you tell us to protect or emails that you tell us to protect. So this has been in use now for 4 years. It's been out in the market for 4 years. And we have many of our customers who are compliant and compliance-centric or have regulations. They use this technology very, very well today. I have a question there. Correct. Yeah, the question is, look, if you're going to activate my tenant by default or my tenant already exists, then you must have a key. How does BYOK come into picture? So that's correct. That's true. When a tenant gets created, we do have a Microsoft managed key right there in the beginning. There are two ways this could be done. For example, you don't even have to activate your tenant or and first give us your key. Or even if that Microsoft managed key exists, you have the ability to BYOK, bring your own key, and then roll over to this new key. So imagine I have a tenant, a demo tenant called Contoso. You've heard the word Contoso quite a time, I'm guessing. And we created a key for you that's sitting over there with us. You come in and you give us your own key, right? When you give us your own key, we basically start using that key because all the documents are going to be protected to the new key, the BYOK key. That old key keeps sitting over there. No document is protected to it, it stays there. And the goal is that in case you took away your, I can go through the details, but you get the idea, right? You always have the capability to do key rollover as many times as you like and keep moving the keys forward. Okay, so now the important thing that I wanted to talk about was that very soon, we have written the code, we're going to take it to production at some point in time, Exchange is also moving to the new Azure RMS infrastructure, which will allow Exchange customer to bring their own key. If you have ever worked with us, if you have ever talked to us, you know this had been an issue. In the old days, in 3 months ago, 6 months ago, Azure RMS would have BYOK, but Exchange customers will still have to take that key and add it to the store. So the BYOK portion didn't used to exist. But now, with these new changes we have made, Office 365 is fully compliant with the BYOK capabilities of rights management. This single-handedly is unblocking dozens of customers. There are dozens of customers who are in our preview program today who are basically saying, look, we want Office 365, we like rights management, but to stay compliant, we must do BYOK, and Exchange must use it, right? So if you are one of those customers, who have been waiting. Now is the time to start doing BYOK, and very soon, and you know, help tell us who you are, and we'll add you to the preview program, and then you can start doing the right thing for your company and start using secure email. So that's one big topic.
And one thing I'll just add on top of that is you'll probably hear the notion of BYOK in a number of different contexts, both within Office 365 and within Azure. So this is yet another BYOK. This is specific to the use of RMS to encrypt and protect content at the content level inside of Office 365. If you're interested in the other options you may have for more advanced encryption and controls, I highly encourage you to take a look at Paul Rich's session. That's R-I-C-H. It happened earlier this week, but you can watch the replay. And he walks you through all the options you have for BYOK, including Azure RMS BYOK.
Okay. So compliance requirements are check. If you want to be a preview customer, if you are a preview customer already, send us an email to this alias. You will see the alias three times over in this session. Protect email preview, and we'll happily have you as one of the first customers to get this the new functionality over to your tenant when we start rolling it out. And by the way, if you are an existing EXO customer with RMS and you have been using secure email already, no problem. You don't have to do anything. We'll roll you to this new model automatically. So we won't ask you of anything more. All right. So that was one. Now we're going to show you a few demos. We're going to show you a few demos around, within the company, how easy we have made it for you to use use the EXO plus RMS capabilities. What are you seeing?
Maybe one more.
Seven? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great. So see a few faces in here that was in the session this morning, so this might be a little bit familiar to you. But again, as Gagan mentioned, the key investments here is to make RMS work within your organization, between business partners, and certainly with customers. So one example here is showing off how RMS can work with Office 365 groups, or what you sometimes heard called as modern groups. So from here, a fairly common scenario. There's a project team that have created a project group inside of Office 365 related to a new product launch. And as part of that product launch, they're working on honing the press release. So Garth, who runs product marketing, doesn't have to put all the individual users. They can very easily send a new mail to this modern group. And from here, I can, of course, protect it manually because I understand the criticality of preventing this information from falling into the wrong hands before it's time or being revealed before it's time, as evidenced by the highlighted bit here, that I'm going to take the extra step of manually protecting the message with a do not forward policy. So when I click send, this is going to go to all the members of the modern group. And the first opportunity to look at that is switching to the context of Allie. She's another member of Gagan's favorite company, the Contoso Corporation. She's also a member of that project group. So right here inside the modern group, we see there's some new activity. And here's that message from Garth. It's protected, it works inside this new construct just as you would expect it would for DLs or for other mail addresses within your organization. But here's the thing. You've told us that, hey, that's great that I can get protected mail when I'm using Outlook, but Allie's constantly on the go. And instead, she does most of her productivity off her iPhone. And one of the pieces of feedback you provided us is that IRM messages, or rights managed messages, don't necessarily work with the devices or the mail apps that I'm using. So just a moment, this will come up on the screen. Here we go. So here I am on Allie's iPhone. And as you can see down here, for some reason, she decided not to use Outlook Mobile. And I hope all of you do use Outlook Mobile because it is the best experience there is for receiving and responding to protected messages. But in this case, she's more of a fan of the iOS native mail app. And how many of you have ever tried to open a rights-protected message using a native app? It's a great experience, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. If you just follow these simple 25 steps, in just a few moments, you can read the message. Well, here's a new feature we're going to offer to you. We're going to give you, as the tenant admins, the ability to toggle on service-side decryption and rights enforcement. So what this means is for unenlightened EAS mail clients, in this case the native mail app in iOS, knows nothing about RMS. Instead, we can let Exchange Online handle the heavy lifting of decrypting the message and enforcing the rights, and then use the secure channel of EAS down to the client to provide that that unencrypted message to these recipients. Again, this is for people only inside your organization who is syncing mail to their devices using EAS. So here's that same message again. Now, you remember before, this was an IRM-protected message. We saw everything that you would expect, a do-not-forward banner. If I tried to forward the message, I wouldn't be able to. But now I'm able to see that on the native mail app. Now, because, again, the native mail app doesn't know anything about RMS, we've added this banner into the message that says, hey, your company has protected this message with Office 365. Don't forward it to anyone else. And this is really just to help people understand that this is a different type of message than their normal ones in their inbox. And you know, more often than not, we're just trying to help people not do anything unintentionally to leak information. And of course, I can respond because Ali has the right to respond all and say, I'll take it from here. And just like that, back through EAS to Exchange Online, the service will re-encrypt the message and it will continue to be protected. We'll take a look at that in just a moment from the perspective of Garth in just a moment. But remember, this is a do not forward mail. So if I try to go ahead and forward it, I'm going to be allowed to do so because unlike Outlook, that button is not grayed out. It's not prevented for me to press it. But let's say Ali wants to share this press release with one of her friends, Sophia, because it's pretty interesting stuff and she wants to say, check this out. And if I click send on this, now again, the service is going to be enforcing the rights on this message. And in just a few moments, the service will send a non-delivery report back to Ali on her phone that basically says, look, you don't have permission to forward this message. And in fact, the forwarding will not take place. So while this is still not the best experience, it's certainly a much better experience that you have the option to give your users. But of course, it's up to you and the security posture in your organization if you want to allow something like that to happen. I'll answer the question in just 1 second because I just want to go back and show what the other side of that experience looks like from Garth's inbox. So here we are again in Garth's inbox. As we see here, there's that mail thread, and as promised, the message remains protected even though we went through a modern group as well as on an unenlightened mail client using EAS and this new optional service-side decryption and policy enforcement. So there were a couple of questions. It would be great if you can ask from the microphone, but we'll do our best to echo them in the room. So why don't we start over here?
Well, this is pretty cool, right? Okay, good.
What happens if an unenlightened mail client uses another SMTP service to forward it?
It's a great question. So the question is, hey, you know, it's not too difficult to add more than one email address or email account in there. Of course, none of these solutions are meant to mitigate every single possibility. And that's one of the reasons why it's an option for you as the admin to decide. As Goggin mentioned, or will mention actually, because we've done this session about 12,000 times this week, so yeah. Hopefully the jokes get better if you've seen us more than once.
You're reading them.
Is the fact that we're going to be adding more reporting and insights to see how protected mail is flowing in your tenant and how it's being read. So you may make the decision, like, at this point in time, we want to disable this, and you can turn it off. It can even be done at the user level. Unfortunately, that is a PowerShell command at the moment. All right, so this is the guy who loves PowerShell. All right. So you know, just like anything with RMS, we're not always able to prevent every layer 8 attack that exists, but we want to make sure we're balancing productivity with security and give you, as the admin, the choice for your organization of how you want to enforce it. So one more question, and then we should probably move on. In terms of man in the middle or someone intercepts the message? It certainly does, because as Gagan mentioned, all this is built on top of Azure RMS, which uses encryption as the mechanism to secure the communication, and it also allows us to enforce the usage rights, because you get the rights from the service to decrypt the message, and it also tells through the policy that's handed down to the client what you can do with that message. So at the baseline of all this, the message is encrypted.
And even in B2C case, you'll hear about B2C very soon on how we will enable such rights there as well. It's actually coming.
Yeah. And did we answer your question in the front row there? Or, okay, good. So, okay. All right. Okay. One more question as we switch to the slides.
Go for it.
Yes. So we think of it as any new recipients. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we would enforce the policy.
So, yeah, so to answer your question, no. You will, even if you added other people in reply all, in this scenario, we will reject it. And in other case, if you are an enlightened client like Outlook, we will not even allow you to add other people. Okay? Okay. So those were the demos. Cool stuff, right? I mean, I think this is what will help you get this deployed within the organization. We'll do B2B, we'll do B2C later on, but we took away those usability issues that you're facing where the recipient couldn't open the email within the organizations with such support. So those are the two big steps that you saw. One, we enable modern groups to work with the new rights management work that we have done. Like, it always used to work with security groups and with DL, so we added modern groups there because they're modern, right? I mean, we're moving to the modern infrastructure. That's one. And the second thing is we basically added more usability, because now you can open such emails on any enlightened clients within unenlightened clients within the organization. So that's step one. So with this, we believe we have given you guys the capability to now enable secure emails within your company, right? So, and then you can start sending confidential data around with the peace of mind that it's not going to leave your organization. So that's step number one. Good, but the bang for the buck starts when we talk about secure emails within organizations. We teams or two companies participating in a joint venture or partnerships happening for a new product or a project, very common, right? And while ADRMS in the old days was good for its day, you could not just make two companies work together. We had always seen this. It was almost impossible to have federation between the companies. Azure RMS came around, or Azure IP as we say now, it came around and we made federation work. Great, that worked for documents all this while. So I could take a document and send it to Ian at Contoso, another company, and he was able to open the document. But emails never worked, and that's where the real value is. And now the work we are doing together will help you enable that. So very soon, RMS emails between Office 365 tenants will just work. If you're part of our preview program, you will see that they just work. Like, they work as if I'm sending the email to within my company. We're going to show you a demo of that. And again, Outlook continues to be our premier email client. If you're an Office 365 user, we are hoping that you use Outlook, whether you are on Windows, on mobile, on web, or on Mac. The B2B interactions will just work. We are empowering Outlook. We are adding our technology in there to make this scenario work seamlessly. Number two, and the third one, which I was already mentioning, is this partnership scenario. Ian and I are working on a joint venture. I have to send an email over to him with an attachment. I want to basically get your views. Look, I trust him, right? However, I send him an email. But the only option that exists today happens to be do not forward, right? The moment I send a do not forward email to him, which is to have communication between the two companies, it tells him that I don't trust him. Like,
so which I, is because true, I, though. You actually don't trust
I
me.
I don't trust yeah. you, I know. Right, but this is, imagine, this is a scenario. Bring your imagination.
Okay, fair enough.
So I want to let him forward this email to other people in this org or add other recipients from his organization into the email, right? It's a joint venture. We want it to work. But today we don't allow that. And that's what we're going to change. So just to give you an idea, if not used Outlook and RMS together in the past, Today we have this policy called do not forward. By the way, the templates showing over there, the other policies are all Microsoft policies. We see them all the time. So you have do not forward that you can use, but you cannot use any of the other policies because they are meant for Microsoft. So your joint venture discussion will not happen. The only way is the do not forward. We are changing that. We are adding a big number of policies to help you do better business-to-business collaboration. This is the first one. The first one is, we'll figure out a final name, but the idea is recipients only and allow the sharing for, and let them share it with others as well. So the idea is allow only authorized recipient to open this email. This is an RMS protected email. It's encrypted. It has a set of rights, right? So if I send an email over to Ian, for sure only he can open it. No man-in-the-middle attack will happen. It's encrypted to only him. He has to have the right identity. So he opens the email. Cool, we get that. But unlike do not forward, we allow him to add other people to this email. We allow him to forward the email to other people. He's in my trust zone. I will let him expand the trust zone. Sure, I trust him enough. Cool, na?
Fair enough. Okay. Yes.
But I still have control over the email. And if you know more about how Azure IP or Azure RMS work, you know that we have the capability now to track such documents and emails. Right? You know we have the ability to revoke these emails or documents at any point in time. So if I send him an email, so let's continue the scenario, bring your imagination. I send you an email. I allow you to forward the email around. You added Adam and Shai to the email. Cool, right? So I trust you enough. You expanded our trust zone. That seems to be working. And then one of these guys forwarded the email to somebody else. I actually don't know who that other person is. He's outside of our partnership. Because I have the ability to track these emails, I know who else tried to open the email or was able to open the email. So I don't trust you guys anymore. The trust was closed. And then I have the ability literally to revoke that email. That's where we will take this scenario. It's not there yet, we're starting it. But because we are adding these policies, we will actually allow secure collaboration to work right while continuing for you to be productive in the job you're doing. So at some point in time, secure emails with these kind of policies, the first one in the list, will be as good as sending somebody a normal email, right? But with all the capabilities of encryption, authorization, tracking and revocation done right for these emails as well. Because we already figured the usability part, right? So that was taken care of in the last discussion we had. That's where we are heading. And that's the first policy that allows you to go there. So that's number one. We're adding more flexible policies. If you have used rights management or exchange with rights management in the past, you have been asking for this. This is something you've always been clamoring for. One is this ability that we call as star at company or everyone at company, right? Which is I want to create a policy where everybody at my company and everybody at your company should be able to work together. I can protect a document and I can send it over to you. Please forward it to other people in your team. It doesn't have to be over email. It could be over OneDrive. It could be over SharePoint. It could be over any other USB mechanism. But everyone at your company has the ability to open the document or the emails I've sent you, right? That's policy number two. And we will allow you to create such policies now very soon with rights management and exchange will just be able to use it. So that's policy number two. The policy number three is this policy, we're calling it everyone, internally we call it star at star. So imagine a world where this is a great example that one of our customers, Bentley, was talking to us about, which is, hey, we are building a bridge somewhere in California, and I have 10 different companies participating. That'll happen. And I don't want to remember the names of each one of them. I can protect a document with the star at star or everyone policy, and I can just put it on a website. Anybody who has the ability to download it, I give a link to, they can download this. It's protected, it's encrypted, and it is meant for authorized users. Anybody who can bring me a verified email address, whether it's an Office 365 email address or otherwise, we'll talk about that, can open this email or this document. Cool. The good news is, so that covered the usability part. Nobody will get a message which says, hey, you're not allowed. But the good news is, such a policy allows you to now track and revoke your document. If the bridge, for this bridge, if document number 44, version 44 was now old and I've come up with version number 45, I can go and revoke this version 44 and put in version 45. Nobody can open the document number 44 and they have to go and get a new version now, 45, which is again encrypted, which is again only for the authorized users, which is star at star, and gives you the ability to track who's opening this document, right? So that's policy number three. Now we have come up with three. when you guys are part of the preview, give us feedback on what else would you like. And tell us whether star at company and star at star, everyone at company and everyone are good enough, or the previous one where you allow you to forward the emails to others through Outlook itself, good enough, or do you need more? The goal that we have is that first, from a sending point of view, we will allow you to send the email with the right set of policies to anybody you like in the world. It doesn't have to be within your company, right? And then we will also cover, we're also covering the consumption part of it on who can open this email and what they can do with it. So that's part two. So these are the examples of policies that we are bringing in. We're going to show you a quick demo on some of these policies to kind of give you an idea on where we're heading. So this may sound familiar to a bunch of you guys. Outlook, an attachment, I want to send it. Two big things here. One is I want to send it to somebody outside my company. So the guy who's logged in happens to be Alex, who is part of Demo 1, AACP Demo 1. Sorry, we couldn't come up with a better name. And I'm sending it to somebody, Rob Y, at AACP Demo 2, completely different Office 365 company. Today, this was not possible, okay? But in the new world, we can make it work. So that's part number one that you guys you will appreciate. The second part is, today we have a policy called Do Not Forward, and that's the only policy I could use, as I mentioned. But in this new world, we will allow you to use this new policy called Recipients Only Allow Sharing. So what it says is this email is meant for intended recipients only. The recipients can definitely forward or share this email with others, right? So we expanded, you can expand the trust zone, and Rob can expand the trust zone. So I'm going to send this email over to Rob, and then we're going to go to Rob's machine and see what happens. So let's look for the new email. So it doesn't seem like I'm taking demo, right? Imagination. Okay, so Alex, this email will fly, but it's an email I tested with. So Rob did accept that, did get this email, as you can see. And this email just opened up, right? Which is what we expect, business to business in the new world between Office 365 just opened up. And unlike the, that same email showed up again. And unlike the previous world where you could not forward this email, in the new world we give you the ability, Rob the ability, to forward this email to others, right? That's the new power. So I can now send it, Rob has the ability to send it to anybody he likes because Alex trusted Rob enough, okay? So this is something we have working right now. I'm going to cancel that. I was just showing you that forward works. And if you have attachments with this email, that's cool. The attachments will just open up as well, right? So we just, emails and attachments are synonymous to us in that regard. So with the new policy called Recipients Allow Sharing, you can see that this user cannot copy content, but has the ability to now save it and send it over to others as well. So with the single demo, we kind of showed you two big investments we made. B2B just works when you're in Office 365. And the second one is that we are now introducing new policies that allow you to do better secure email to other folks. Does that make sense? Any comments? Good? Yes.
Okay, so email, I hope I'm loud enough. So email and attachment, do you treat both of them equally when you talk about encryption?
Hmm. The question is, emails and attachments, do you treat both of them equally when you talk about encryption? That's a great question. So in this case, all of these, whether it's an email or Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and other formats, for us, they are documents. And on those documents, we can apply rights management, right? So we treat them equally. In the scenarios we just saw, specifically, when you encrypt an email and you have assigned a policy to the email, the children of that email, which happens to be attachments, get protected with the same policy, okay? So if I have said that I do not allow print on an email, which is what Do Not Forward did, then you cannot print the document either, the attachment either. If you said I allow print, on the email, then the attachment can be printed too.
Okay, so if I download so the attachment that you had, test.doc, right?
Yeah.
If I saved it to my desktop and then I attached it and then sent it to somebody, it would still know that I was the recipient, I was the only recipient for that test.doc. could not send it to somebody else?
So the question is, if I had saved the file locally and then I send it to somebody else sneaking, would that other person be able to open it? Of course, no, they will not be able to open it. That's the whole goal. It's right, you know, to the idea of it's encrypted and rights managed. And if you're not, if you're being sneaky and you're not using the right methods to send this document, you know, to protect and forward this document around such that I as the owner know about it, then no, we will not allow you to.
And is there, last question, is there a limitation on the size of the attachment?
Is there a limitation on the size of the attachment? No. There is the limitation on the kind of memory you have on Outlook or on your device, and that governs some of it. Limitation in the sense of it only stays usable up to some angle. If you start encrypting a 2 gigs file attached to an email, you know, yeah, it's going to be slow, it's not going to be usable. You know, Outlook may anyway give you an error. So we don't have a restriction as such. We only have tested and supported up to a particular particular size of the email and a particular size of the attachment.
So I think I would adjust the statement a little bit. It's probably more likely the limitations on your mailbox ability to send large attachment size is more likely the barrier than the actual file size itself.
Yeah. So, question.
You're welcome.
Yep.
In your demo, you did kind of scan it off of 365. What happens when you send it to Gmail?
So the question is, what you just showed me Office 65 to Office 65. What about everybody else? Just wait and watch. Yes, sir.
What file types are supported with RMS?
So the question is, what file types are supported with this scenario that you just saw? So two different ways to answer it. What file types are supported with this scenario you saw? Right now, it's Word, PowerPoint, Excel. What file types do we support with RMS, and where do we want to take this whole scenario to every file type? We will talk about it as we go further. But this scenario was all about email and Word, PowerPoint, Excel. Yes, sir?
Currently, with SharePoint IRM integration, you
So the question, great question. If I have an already protected document and I attach it to an email, what happens? And I put a policy. Today, I can tell you what happens today, and we'll take your feedback, and we can obviously evolve it. Today, if the document is already protected and you attach it to an email which has a different policy, the new policy attached on the email does not affect the policy on the document. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. There are many complications in this scenario, you know, but that's what the current state is. Okay? Good. Any other question? Yes, sir. So if you wait for the, the question is, how do you detect it's an Office 65 tenant and an email will just work versus if it's not an Office 65 tenant? So just wait for a few more minutes while we talk about the how would we make secure email work for everybody else, and that'll answer your question automatically. Last question before we jump. Yes, sir. Yes. The question is the content that gets, when the content gets encrypted, whether it's an email or attachments, and it goes through the Office 65 e-discovery system, would it all be searchable? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because your exchange online tenant that you're using acts as a super user, or you know, as a user who has all the abilities, and it has the ability to now decrypt the files at any point in time you want. So I think there's a fundamental point that I want to make. When you use rights management in your organization, we have users and we have super users. Users are normal users who need rights to a document to open the document. Super users are services or users who you have given special privilege that they can decrypt any document for purposes. Whether it's your legal team, who will definitely want it, auditors may want to decrypt any document, or an exchange online service who can also act as a super user. Okay, so that's the answer to your question, sir? Okay.
Let me just add one comment on that. So if you're not using the Office 365 e-discovery capabilities, and you're using a journal mailbox and you're putting mails in there, you do have the option to toggle on what we call journal decryption, where we include both the original message as is, and you can have a decrypted copy sitting side by side. So in case your technology may be doing a search on a particular mailbox of that kind, there's a few different ways to attack that problem.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Ian.
So I'm sorry, the question is?
If you're journal recipient, if you turn that into a third party email compliance attack, for example, outside the Office 365, then how would you
answer?
So again, if you enable journal decryption, which happens on the service side, when the mail is sent to the journal mailbox, which may be in Office 365 or another SMTP target, that's when you can also add that additional decrypted copy of it too. Yeah, I mean, there are limitations to what we can do, and I'm not sure if we have an API which partners build upon.
They do.
But
actually, there are a few.
There are some that build upon it.
So the idea is that if you have a third-party discovery system, let's assume for a minute, or you have cases that were just described, then in those cases, we do have our RMS SDK that you can use to that partners use today, many of them use today, to decrypt, journal them, decrypt the emails, journal them, do e-discovery on those emails, and you can do it outside of Office 365 as well. We'd love for you to use Everything Exchange Online offers, but for customers where it doesn't fit the needs or been using an older system or another system, yes, you have all the capabilities to do everything that Exchange Online can do with such RMS-protected emails. So that exists today. If your e-discovery solution or DLP solution doesn't allow that, then I think it's a good conversation that we can have later to figure out what are you using. And it's a matter of using our SDK that Exchange uses today to be able to journal and index and decrypt such emails. Hopefully that answers the question. Okay, so this has been the question that the gentleman asked and everybody else has been asking. Okay, whatever you have shown so far sounds okay because this was all between Office 65, right? So you can take care of that. What happens when such an email is sent to somebody outside of Office 65? Right? So what we're going to do today is instead of talking about how we're going to solve it, we're going to show you a few demos, and then we'll come back to how we did this work. Okay? So we're going to show you a few demos and show you how this scenario works. So let's go back to 8. Okay? And again, I am a user working in a company which is Office 65 tenant, and I'm testing this scenario out with Gmail users. Okay? Now, we could have tested this scenario with an on-prem user as well, like complete, who's not on Office 65. What works with Gmail, as we show it to you, will also work with every other IDP provider as well, one way or the other. I'm going to show you how this works. So in this case, Alex wants to send an email to two Gmail users, Gagan Ignite, I just created one, and Sophia at Contoso. You love Contoso, right? So I'm going to go over here. And I'm going to say do not forward to these people. If I can say do not forward, I can also send them this email to them with other policies too. So I'm literally, just like I would have sent an email to somebody in my company or somebody who has a business account, I will send this email to these Gmail accounts as well. So I did that. Nothing changed for me. My experience didn't change. I did not have to go to a new website. If you've ever used a bank, all of us have used banks, you have to literally go somewhere to a new website, sign in, and then reply or create a new encrypted email or send to encrypted email. Healthcare do the same thing, right? So we're taking all of that away here. We're basically saying, look, if you're a healthcare company or a financial company or a bank, just use your normal Outlook as you were using and just send encrypted emails to whosoever you have to in the same way as you would send unencrypted emails. And this scenario will just work, right? That's the promise of usability that we're bringing to the table, right? No more point solutions needed. You can just use the power of Outlook and Office 65 and Azure IP to simplify the interactions you have with your users and your customers. So I sent this email out, and now I'm going to go to another VM. So in this VM, I have this person called gaganignite@gmail.com. This guy is using Gmail, but he loves Outlook. What I'm showing you with Outlook on Windows, trust us or be part of the preview, it works on Outlook on mobile as well. Okay, we're just simplifying the demos here more than anything. So here, I am this user at Gmail, and I have synced my mailbox with Outlook. Okay, in the old world, this would have never worked. you would have received an RPM SG attached, right? But in this new world, I just double click on the email, it's configuring who I am, and that's it. The email just opened up. No more RPM SGs, no more clicking on a link, going somewhere to a website to open this. If you're using Outlook for your Gmail accounts, your Microsoft accounts, we will make the scenario just work.
But what happens if I'm not using Outlook?
Oh, come on. You're taking your imagination too far. No. You have to use Outlook.
Wait. What if we don't use Outlook?
Okay. Though? Let's try that out too.
All right.
Okay. So great question. What's the minimum Outlook version supported? We will support this in Outlook 2016, Outlook on mobile, all of those, and not in Outlook 2013, not in Outlook 2010. Well, one quick question, otherwise I will miss the mojo of the demo. We've been planning this for weeks now.
On the user authenticator, what if somebody intercepted the message and opens it up in Outlook 2016? How do you know that he's that user?
Because you synced your mailbox. And you, so what I did not show you, when you sync your mailbox, you provided your Gmail account and password. I just took that part of the demo. But he's going to show you how you authenticate.
Yeah, but somebody stole the message on the way to Gmail.
Yeah, but then you need a username password. Right? You need it's encrypted, and when you double click on such a message, it'll ask you for an email and a password, and you have to provide it. That's the whole idea of rights management. It's encrypted, and only authorized users can open such email or documents.
So if someone does, in fact, intercept the message, unless you have their username and credentials, you won't be able to decrypt it. If they do have the username and credentials, the problem is moved up further in the stack, right? Yeah. Now you have a compromised user,
yes.
not one single message that has been plucked out of the internet or Ethernet or whatever, and had been attacked from point A to point B. We don't know the destination's password. You, as the user, set up your Outlook client, just like you do with Exchange or Exchange Online. You
yes.
signed into Outlook using your@gmail.com, and you're familiar with the process of how it is to set up with Exchange. You could do the same thing with other mail providers. So in this case, we're using that authentication and integration with Google OAuth and other providers to get the right authentication materials and use that as a way to prove who you are to the RMS systems.
Okay.
So one more question, then we were up all night practicing that handoff, and like we love the questions, but like So Goggin, what happens if I'm not using Outlook?
It does not work.
But wait.
It does not work. Right. My imagination stopped there.
Hey, look, we really, our customer promise here is that if you use Outlook, it just works. But we also realize that there are those who either cannot or choose not to use Outlook in a variety of different areas. And we didn't want to leave them behind. As you may recall, we've had these two solutions out there. We've had IRM and OME. And really, OME was the solve for, in many cases, the reach scenarios, the non-Outlook scenarios. Well, in the past, you'd have to think about, wait, do I use one versus the other, and a lot of decision-making. And let's be quite frank, how many of you have used OME today? Okay,
yeah.
Some of you realize that it's not the most fluid workflow. Let's show you how we've made that much improved and also remove the need to think, which solution do I need to use to send a message, depending on the recipients. So here I am in Sophia's inbox in Gmail. So I'm signed into Google Chrome, into my Gmail account. Now again, Google Chrome and Gmail are not RMS aware. We haven't done anything to work. You're starting to interrupt my stride, man. It's been a long week, hasn't it? So if you've seen an OME message before, you've probably recall it's kind of a fairly basic, lightweight message. The attachment on that message is an HTML file. You got to double download, double click, post it back. Not any longer. In fact, for those of you who are existing fans of RMS, you'll notice here that this is a native RMS mail. But because Google and Google Chrome does not know how to render it, you get this much improved, or at least we believe it's a much improved, we look forward to your feedback, unenlightened experience. Now here's the really cool thing here. I don't have to go download a client and do all that step if I don't need to. Instead, we're now introducing this new temporary web view link. And the whole goal here is with as few steps as possible, allow this user in Gmail We'd love them to have the experience Goggin had, but right from here, we'd like to be able to have them click on a link, prove who they are, and then read their encrypted message. So here's what happens when I click on it. Again, because we're doing this work to federate with the major identity providers out there, in this case, we're talking about Gmail or the Google identity, and we know this message was sent to my Google account, we say, hey, would you like to sign in using your Google account to read this protected message? I don't have to create an account. I can use those credentials. Now, let's say you're not sure you want to do this for whatever reason. We still offer the option for a one-time passcode, which means when you click this, you'll get another message back to your Google account. So hopefully, if your credentials haven't been compromised, you can get the code and then, again, prove who you are. But again, we want to show the seamless experience here. I click on Sign In with Google. Now, this is a one-time and probably very familiar experience for any of you who have ever used a consumer or a commercial web service that allows you to sign in without having to create an account in their native directory, but instead you say, hey, I can use Twitter, or I can use Facebook, or my Google, or even MSA. So here I'm being asked by Google, do I give consent for this application to use, and this is the most basic information. This is literally the bare minimum about this user. Of course, I click Allow. This is one time, and no matter where I log in again with my Google identity in Gmail, I don't have to go through this process again. And in just a few moments, we open this up inside our what we colloquially call the OME web viewer. I can read that protected message. I see here that we're enforcing Do Not Forward. And just to even further that point, you can see here that Do Not Forward is grayed out. So here you can truly send a do not forward mail to a Google user. And you don't necessarily need Outlook on the recipient end to do so. So you can have high confidence that in just two clicks, I was able to read that message without any more hindrance than that. Is that worth an applause at this point?
It's good.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
And of course, as Hao is telling me, once I do it again, I just click once and it goes right through. I don't have to do the consent. So hopefully that answered the question I think you had over in the corner. How much we owe you for setting up all of our sections, right? So yeah, good. What's our giveaway?
It's coming. Yeah.
We'll give you Goggin's laptop for all the hard work in this session.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
You can have it today, literally.
Yes, sir. You had. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What happens if the recipient is on a Joe Blow ISP, right?
Yes.
Something at something doesn't offer, it's not an authorized identity provider.
Correct.
So
we would love to have federated experience with all the major providers out there. And in many cases, with Gmail, Yahoo, MSA, and others, we'll have most of the bases covered. And there are really two options there. One, the user could decide to create an MSA, which is not an ideal path because it's just another account they have to deal with. And that's why we still offer the one-time passcode. So it was in that list of options when I clicked on it. I can either sign in with my Google account or a single-use code or one-time passcode, which is a semi-common experience for ABC.net mail, which is will probably just be basic POP or something. We won't have federation with that provider.
Okay, I'll add. Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
I think the last point is very important. So this worked, what you saw so far worked great with Office 365 tenant. We showed that it worked great with Yahoo, with Gmail, MSA, as we add more identity providers. But at some point in time, we'll stop, right? So whether you're an on-prem user, to your point, or you are using an identity provider that's not one of the top three, you have the option to do one-time password. We will not leave those users out in the cold. They can bring in their one-time passcode, the single-use account that you just, the single-use code that you just saw, and they have the ability now to open such emails. So no user at this point in time should be left out there high and dry. They will all be able to open up the secure email you have sent them.
So, and we will answer, I promise we'll answer your question about when will this be. Sorry, I realized we never responded to that. So,
yes, sir.
Send them another one-time messages. If somebody is eavesdropping and catching both messages, they can access the RMS protected message, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, there's always going. Security isn't 100%. It's always about, you know, the level of risk you can mitigate. So I'm sure there are some ways even more sophisticated than that might be in play. But in the vast majority of cases, this is meant to put the right safeguards in and help people do the right things.
Yeah, there is a reason why one-time passcode is in the industry is not the most safe. Is the safest, right? We all understand it. We're doing the best. This is the best way to get you the right usability, to make sure your recipients have the ability to open. We expect that, hope that your recipients have a major consumer ID account they're using, or you can guide your recipients to use Microsoft account, like create a Microsoft account, be ability to have the ability to open this. So now the email account and the password continues to be held by the user. And if you still want them to be even more usable and you want to allow one-time passcode, I think that's cool. I think that's a great feedback for us as we go back and, you know, go through the spectrum of security and usability to see if one-time passcode should even exist, or we should we force people to use Microsoft account, or should we give you as admins the capability to say, hey, you want to offer one-time passcode or not, right? So these are, I think, the questions you're asking us are fantastic. It'll help us.
Yeah, that's all work that will allow for you to do. So, for example, do you mind switching back?
Yeah, I'll switch back.
So, some of the things that we're thinking about is
seven,
I believe.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, for example, here you just see the Microsoft logo. That would be something customizable. You know, a lot of similar elements that you see in OME today. We are looking to bring forward in here too, including in the portal itself, like it having that logo show up to be your customized logo. And again, as we've said, as you participate in the preview program, you know, let us know, especially the usability of this mail, because we're always sensitive that we don't want someone to think of this as a phishing attack or something that's not legitimate. So we want to put as many telltale signs in there that this is a trustworthy message and they should be able to have with high confidence it working. Again, not to pitch Outlook too much, but if your recipients are using Outlook, all that would be abstracted. They would just have to make sure they're signed in, and it just works. So,
a couple more questions. You were asking. Yes, sir. Great question. What's the experience for the question? I'm going to repeat your question. What about the experience for customers who are using Outlook 2010 or Outlook 2013? The experience for them is going to be the experience that Ian showed you. What works for Gmail will also work for people who are still on Outlook 2010 or earlier versions of Outlook 2013.
So that's the problem for
OAuth authentication or the one-time passcode? Absolutely. Yeah, they'll have to use the OAuth or one-time passcode to open this. As much as we want to go fix the older versions, you can understand that it's going to be really hard to go back and change old code. In this new world, we want everybody to move to the evergreen versions of Outlook 2016, Windows 10, so that you know we can bring these changes to you right away, rather than 3 years after. One last question before we move to the timelines. So, we've been waiting, sorry. And we can then answer this one.
What's the end user experience for like a vendor who's using iOS or the Gmail app on Android?
The question is, what is the experience for a vendor who's using iOS app with Gmail? Exactly the experience that Ian showed you.
Yeah, this scales to, it's responsive. It scales to mobile devices as well.
Would they log in, so if you got the Gmail app, you click on the email and
you have to authorize, right? The consent dialogue that you saw, which is, hey, would you allow Office 365 Information Protection to be able to get information, token essentially, user token with your email, to be able to open such emails? And once you say yes, we're good to go. We'll not ask you for putting in your password again. Right, it's the same thing. I mean, Chrome, he was already signed in.
Yeah.
Gmail is the same thing.
Yeah, and it is worth reinforcing that if I wasn't signed in, that I wouldn't just pass through. I'd first have to sign into my Google account. No. And that, of course, is not happening on the Office side. It's Google presenting the, hey, sign in and prove who you are, and then consent, and then you would see it.
Okay.
So that's the critical piece. And that's common across all the OAuth providers.
Right. So we'll move on to the four more slides. We're running 10, we have only 10 minutes left. So what you saw today was the following. We are supporting consumer accounts. We went through it. Outlook just works, number two. And the third thing is no more RMS, IRM, OME. It's all rights management. We have improved our unenlightened experience for rights management, as you saw. No need to download any app. I think that's one of the, no need to download any app is one of the biggest usability improvements that this is making. And there is this one click to be able to open this message is another one. I think if you are a fan of, can I use this term, PGP, S/MIME, or Voltage, or you know any of those point solutions that exist in the market today, we believe that this, the usability we are bringing to the table with this new secure email with Office 365 initiative is going to make you think differently. More features are coming. What we showed you is just a starting point of what we can allow with secure email now, given that our two teams are working together. Revocation of secure emails. Right? That's a feature. Imagine being in Outlook, you sent a secure email to somebody, and you said, oh, I sent it wrong. Or I sent it to people, it's being, and it, you, when you track it, you realize that it's going to many more places. You can literally go and have an experience to revoke the email right from Outlook. Right? No need to go somewhere else to do this. You can do it right out of Outlook. We understand that we can build this. We have the technology now. Over a period of time, you'll see this feature coming out as well. Reporting and insights. I think this is a feature well understood. Given we have the intelligence and we know which emails are getting protected, we can tell you how's your company doing, how many emails are getting protected, how many not, which users are protecting their information, who is not. So we can provide you all of that. One of the most important improvements that we will make over a period of time is this idea of enabling these protection policies with very, very simply. We call it one-click protection policy. So what you saw so far, what Ian and I were showing you in our cool demos, was users manually protecting these emails, right? But we expect that that'll happen. But the idea really is that it should happen automatically. If I found a project F in an email, or like for example, if I was working on a tented project, a secret project, anything, if ever I find the right content in the email, I should be able to automatically protect it. It shouldn't have to wait for the user to protect this email, right? And these policies are running on our Exchange Online DLP system, they can be enforced on the email when the email is being protected right on the box, or when it's going through the Exchange transport pipeline. So a lot of this is going to come over the next few months, and you'll see, if you're part of our preview, you will see, and you will give us feedback on which policies would you really want to see at the time it goes GA. So that's our...
Just to add on top of that, yeah. Like one of the reasons why we think it's possible either through classification or data loss prevention policies, that you could have high confidence that if you do the automation, use the intelligence, eliminate the guesswork for your users to have to know, do I press the button or not, yeah. Is the things we demonstrated here. The first level of work is giving you confidence that those recipients can actually read the message. And until we kind of earn your credit on that, we're working on this as the follow-up on that. So we absolutely stress test this during the preview to see that it works in all scenarios and where all your users are, because we'd very quickly like to be able to make recommendations to you and your tenant, and you may have seen some of this in the new Security and Compliance Center demos throughout this week. We'll go down to the show floor, you can see a little bit more of that, where you say, hey, we see a lot of sensitive information. We see a lot of credit cards flowing through your mail. Would you like to check one box and automatically start protecting those messages and take that burden off your users from having to do it for you? It helps keep you safe. It helps protect the user's productivity and ensures that the recipients are still able to read those messages without compromising productivity in the process.
Yeah. Very cool. So the next one is supporting more consumer IDPs. Yahoo is on our list. And if you are part of our preview, I'm selling it enough. If you are part of our preview, you'll have the capability to tell us which other IDP would you want to see, we are supporting for Federated Auth. Last but not the least, more file type support. Today, the question was asked very correctly. You support email, Word, PowerPoint, Excel. What about others? What about PDFs? What about various CAD files? Given that we are on this new modern infrastructure where rights management already supports a bunch of these scenarios, we are just going to add more and more file types. And when you give us feedback, we will be able to rate which one do you want first and then which one later. Okay, so those are the features that you'll see coming. As part of our timelines, very soon, Q4 is starting next week, very soon, in a few weeks to a month, we will announce the preview of this functionality. where you'll be able to give us all the feedback with the scenarios we just saw. And we expect rollouts of this early functionality to in your tenants to be in the to be in early CY17. We can't promise when, because based on the feedback, based on scalability, based on the issues we see, maybe a little bit here and there. But we do expect that in early CY17, our technology will be matured enough that you'll start seeing it in your Office 365 tenants. So that's coming. Your next steps are simple. If you're not used right as your rights management or as your information protection yet, some of it is available as part of Office 65 SKUs, then you should begin to migrate now. Think about BYOK if you haven't thought about it. If you've been waiting for BYOK, just let us know you've been waiting for BYOK. Join our preview program, and you could be the first ones. So begin to migrate to Azure RMS. We have an entire team of our PMs who are ready to help you as you go through this process. Sign up for the customer preview program. That's the alias. That's someone I've been waiting for. Protect email preview. Just note it down. You'll have the deck available to you. Join this alias. Be among the first ones to try out these scenarios. Try out BYOK. Give us your feedback. Tell us what else would you like to see. We are waiting to hear from you. And start protecting more of your emails and make your companies more secure. Last but not the least, we have a theater session tomorrow. If some of your colleagues couldn't attend this because they were attending another session, we have a session tomorrow morning. Sorry, it doesn't show up here. I'll update this. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., we have a session, the same THR2190R. Just look up for it, and you ask your colleagues to see the same demos tomorrow. With that, we are done. We hope you liked what we showed you today. Please evaluate these sessions and give us your feedback.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.